Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now we have Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays at 4, and founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club, where they watch movies and they talk about them, as one should do. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
All right, so the first movie for the week is...
Beetlejuice.
But you don't have to say it a third time in order to know the title of the movie. And that's good, because we wouldn't want to summon a spirit to us, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, that depends on how you feel about, Michael Keaton, I guess.
All right, fair enough. So how was it? How is it?
Well, let me start by saying I'm a massive fan of the original Beetlejuice. It's probably one of my favorite movies. I've watched it so many times that I can probably quote the whole thing from start to finish. I'm a very big fan of pretty much everybody that's involved with this movie, from Tim Burton to...
This sounds like a giant comma butt coming. That's what it sounds like.
I've been very much looking forward to this movie. The newer stars, in Jenna Ortega, I'm a big fan of her as well. I wanted to like this a whole lot more than I liked it. There are some really good sequences in it, and the overall like art direction feel like that, all of that, it's great. Of course it is, because it's a Tim Burton movie, and they all look great no matter what the actual substance of the movie is. There's a couple of sequences in it that I think make it worthwhile, but it just feels kind of hollow. And it kind of feels like there's both too much and not enough going on in this movie.
Okay.
If I was to try to spell out the entire plot for you, it would sound really convoluted, but yet it all just kind of like happens.
It's pretty cryptic.
You kind of almost have to see it for yourself to understand what I'm saying, but there's like...
I have to taste the disappointment for myself.
Yeah, there's characters in this movie that are like fun characters that have no reason whatsoever to be in the movie. Willem Dafoe's character in particular, he's great. He's hilarious every time he's on the screen. And Willem Dafoe and hilarious aren't words you usually use
really.
In the same sentence, because he does a lot of dramas. But he's really funny in this. But there's no reason for his character to be in the movie. Same with Monica Bellucci. She's just like...
The best.
She's in there because, she's... Tim Burton is chemically incapable of not putting the woman that he's dating in a movie.
Right.
Because, of course, that's why Helena Bonham Carter was in his movies for so long.
Right.
They were a couple for so long. And then before that, Lisa Murray, he's now dating Monica Bellucci. So, of course, Monica Bellucci is going to be in every Tim Burton movie.
And
now.
Also, side note, that makes Tim Burton my hero. But go on.
Fair enough. But, yeah, to say that I went in with, I wouldn't necessarily say high expectations, but high hopes.
Okay.
I did not feel they were met. Now, the reviews are better than my review on this. The reviews are, this is running in the 80% range on Rotten Tomatoes. People I'm talking to are really liking it, but I just felt like it fell short.
It might be a little bit like you're too much a fan to enjoy it the way some, maybe is a possibility. What about The Front Room?
The Front Room, this is it's billed as a psychological thriller. It comes from A24, so it's got some kind of like possession overtones to it, but it's starring Brandy, or Brandy Norwood, or depending on which day you ask her, I guess. She's billed as Brandy in the trailer, but I'm seeing the credit as Brandy Norwood. We all know who that is. She's that Moesha and singer, et cetera, et cetera. She's a young woman about to have a baby. She is married to Brandy, is of course famously African American. She is married to a white man, and they're having a baby. And her husband's father dies, and they're forced to take in who apparently is his stepmother, although the trailer makes it look like his mother. And she is wicked and racist and crazy. And So, you know, that kind of thing going on. Okay. Reviews are very, very mixed on this one. It's running straight up the middle at 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, we're just totally out of time, but 20th re-release, 20th anniversary of Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead, one of the best movies of the past 30 years. You know, just if you haven't seen this movie, go see it. Go see it on the big screen because you're going to have so much fun. It is gory, but it's hilarious. And, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't have seen this movie already, but you've got a chance to go see it on the big screen. Go see it on the big screen. It is one of the best.
What are you guys watching next week?
Well, there's not a whole lot coming out next week either yet. So we will be making a decision, looking at maybe the new movie starring Dave Bautista, but we'll see about that.
We need to work on your hype man skills. There's something coming. We'll tell you what it is. Yeah. Julio Diaz, host of the Pensacola Movie Club, and follow them on Facebook, and of Let's Go Pensacola, heard Saturdays at 4 o'clock here on News Radio. As always, Julio, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Hey, coming up next, why would periods in text messages get canceled? And Mark Zuckerberg? What's he in trouble for? We'll tell you next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We've got an accident with roadblock to let you know about on North Old Palafox and Kenmore Road. That's before Old Palafox merges with Highway 29 there. So just be aware of that. Traffic starting to back up. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
If you've got a plumbing need, a problem, something's broken, something's leaking, multiple things are leaking, the pressure, the temperature, knocks in the walls when you turn on the faucet, whatever, if it's a plumbing issue, Barbary Plumbing can fix it, including if you already fixed it and you still need to get it fixed. They'll take care of your flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Did you know Pensacola's hidden gem is powering the future? The Port of Pensacola isn't just a name. It's an economic engine driving our region's success. Home to over 20 powerhouse companies like C-Mex Materials, General Electric, Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. This port is fueling growth and prosperity every day. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the backbone of Northwest Florida's economy. Discover how it's shaping our future at portofpensacola.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the outdated practice of using periods at the end of text messages. In an ongoing effort to be a more loving and inclusive society, we are listening to the hurt feelings of the Gen Z younglings who tell us that periods in text messages are overly formal, negative, aggressive, and confrontational. Instead of using the traditional punctuation of their white oppressors, Gen Z prefers each idea, what old people used to call a sentence, be sent as its own text message, and without an ending punctuation mark. The send button is enough to tell the recipient that the thought has ended. You don't need to emphasize the point with a point, as if they are too stupid to realize the thought is complete. No, the text period is fundamentally othering, abrupt, and off-putting, as if inviting a fight. So final, so objective, so separating. You know, the kind of thing only a colonizer would endorse. Not gentle, encouraging, and inclusive like the comma or the dash. And remember, many, many, many Gen Zs suffer from incapacitating anxiety. And it's no wonder when they are continuously feeling demeaned, condescended to, and yelled at by overly inconsiderate punctuation in text messages. It's a wonder they're even able to muster the courage to leave their parents' house at all. Ever. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Oh, how we cry.
Second, Mark Zuckerberg, chairman of Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, for recently confirming that the Biden administration pressured them to censor dissent during the pandemic, including satire and humor. Even if this is true, it is precisely the sort of thing you never admit publicly. One of the loudest virtue signals is that we hate government censorship, unless we are using government censorship. As you all learned in your very first week of Woke Catechism, we always believe in censoring views we hate while opposing censorship of anything we like. The free speech pretense is one of our four sacred hypocrisies at the heart of our religion. So when Zuckerberg revealed the censorship and that he regretted complying with it, this was a double deadly sin, confessing and repenting. And as if this betrayal weren't enough, Zuckerberg also admitted that Meta suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story as Russian disinformation, an editorial decision he also now regrets. Yet again, we remind you the facts do not matter. What matters is never making the Biden administration look bad and never allowing the Trump administration to look good. In one ghastly misstep, Meta vindicated Trump and granted him at least a level 2 victimhood claim, while also casting criticism on Biden and making him look like the oppressor. For shame, Mark Zuckerberg. For shame. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to praise B-list actor and certified level 3 Wokenista Bradley Whitford for publicly criticizing equally B-list actress Cheryl Hines for her refusal to criticize her husband, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s decision to withdraw from the presidential race and endorse he who shall not be named but rhymes with stump. As Whitford wrote on Twitter, "Way to stay silent while your lunatic husband throws his support behind the adjudicated rapist who brags about stripping women of their fundamental rights. Gutsy. Great example for the kids. Profile encourage." Now, putting aside the obviously shade-throwing reference to John F. Kennedy's famous book, Whitford might ordinarily find himself the canceled subject of our memorial service for the speech crime of being a man to publicly criticize a woman. However, since yet another of the four sacred hypocrisies teaches us, men must never criticize women unless that woman is betraying the cause of womanhood, independence, and wokeness in general. Now, some misguided conservatives might praise Cheryl Hines for supporting her husband, or for realizing she's an actress and not a political scientist. We, of course, know better. As the great treatise on media responsibility, Team America World Police, teaches us, all actors have a duty to right any wrongs in the world they can identify using their immense cultural prestige and razor-like mental acuity. So for Hines to stay silent is to violate her duty as an actress. But also, as we teach repeatedly, all wives have an obligation to openly and publicly criticize their husbands whenever possible, thus fighting the patriarchy, which makes her gentle submissiveness a violation of her duty as a woman. She might as well put on the red robe and white sun hat of the handmaid for staying silent, for condoning support of the evil one, and for deferring to her husband. Cheryl Hines, we cast thee out, and Bradley Whitford, we award you one silver thistle for your unisex service tunic. Woe unto all who offend. As you depart today, please take a moment to fill out the updated congregational membership cards found in this week's handout. Remember, we don't call them bulletins anymore. You'll notice an expanded section on pronoun preferences. Now, with the fully up-to-date holy acronym string, simply circle all that apply to you. We've also added a section on species for those of you who prefer to identify as animal, plant, or fungus, as opposed to the humanity assigned you at birth. Also, and we're especially excited about this, tell us how tall you think you are, so that we can properly look above or below your eye level when speaking with you as a way of honoring the real height of your inner truth. Refreshments this week are provided by Potato Potato, purveyors of the fine recycled baked potato peels collected from restaurant dumpsters and garbage disposals everywhere and aged for at least 21 hours in an infusion bath of treated wastewater effluent. Instead of letting potato peels go needlessly to waste, their government-enforced mandatory collection program ensures a steady stream of nutrient-rich, sun-dried potato peels in three flavors, lime, sea salt, and original patchouli oil. Potato Potato. You can't just taste the virtue, you can savor it.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I will get to John in just a second, but can you put up David's pot for just a second here? David, I thought we lost you for a second there.
When you said identify as a fungus, I'm just thinking, yeah, who I identify as a mushroom spore.
If people can form meaningful long-term monogamous relationships with infrastructure like bridges, look it up, it's a real thing, then why can't they identify as a spore?
I mean,
a fungus identification is just the next iteration. Why not? We'll come back to you in just a second, David. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right, we're still dealing with that accident with roadblock on North Old Palafox Highway at Kenmore Road. That's right before it merges with Highway 29, so just be aware of that. Seeing some delays on Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile. If you're headed southbound, you're going to see those delays there. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody just texted me a picture of a mushroom and a dying, crying face. Fair enough. Appreciate that. Hey, if you need to do any kind of home renovations or repairs or just need basic hardware supplies or you build things for a living, I mean, I don't know where you are on this spectrum. There's all kinds of, you know, levels of acuity, and I am at the low end of that spectrum. But if you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Okay, they have helped build so many. If you walk around town, okay, and that house is 100 years old and that house is 150 years old, they helped build that stuff. They've been around since 1851, before the Civil War, 173 years. Like, they've been around, and they've helped people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola all of that time. So whether you build things for a living or you're just a, you know, casual home repair person doing a honey-do list, go to Pensacola Hardware. They'll have what you need. They'll have the advice that you need. And they've got all kinds of cool housewares for gifts in the front of the store. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Now, David Wayne, who I hope is fully recovered and does not, as far as I know, identify as a fungus, has our headlines. David?
Well, accused Georgia school shooter 14-year-old Colt Gray has now made his first court appearance 2 days after allegedly shooting more than a dozen people at Appalachie High School, killing four. He was in Barrow County Superior Court. The judge informed Gray he could potentially face the death penalty for this shooting. He is being charged as an adult. There were several family members of the victims in the courtroom. The suspect's father, of course, also scheduled to make an appearance in court today. Colin Gray, he was arrested, faces several charges, including second-degree murder and manslaughter. He's accused of knowingly giving his son the rifle even after he was investigated for making a school shooting threat online.
Unbelievable.
It's terrible.
I mean, we seem to be on the verge of almost abandoning the minor adult distinction in criminal sentencing. 14 years old.
Right, yeah, for incidents like that.
Yeah.
Moving into a slightly less serious topic, we are in NFL season now, Andrew.
Don't tell me the results of last night's game.
Well, I will not, would you consider yourself a super fan of any particular team?
No, I don't have an affiliation in the NFL. I'm a baseball Cardinals, otherwise I just like good games.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
vaguely the Lions because I grew up in Detroit, but that's a fandom of convenience.
Gotcha. Well, a Kansas City Chiefs super fan is headed to prison soon, not just for being a Kansas City fan.
Which is reason enough.
Well, yeah, I would say so. But apparently he robbed several banks to fund his going to games. Xavier Michael Bubadar was sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison Thursday morning in Kansas City federal court. Apparently he was robbing banks and performing armed robberies to fund all of his trips to games.
What else would you do?
Well, I mean, they keep raising the price at the hot dog stand. Beers are at $9.50 probably by now, maybe more.
I mean, players got to play. You know, you got to get in somehow. You know, also, I am a little concerned about what's going to happen to him on the inside with the last name Bubadar.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The Labor Department reports 142,000 jobs added in August, more than what was a very slow July, but fewer than most economists expected. The unemployment rate ticked down to 4.2%. In court this morning, the 14-year-old suspect in Wednesday's high school shooting in Georgia and his father.
Chris Hosey, director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, revealing Colin Gray is charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children.
These charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
The 54-year-old, the father of 14-year-old Colt Gray, was accused of opening fire at Appalachian High School with an AR-15-style weapon, killing 2 teachers and 2 students.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin, the father, is being arraigned on murder charges. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we do have cloudy skies. Looks like a little bit of drizzle coming down right now. 74 degrees in Pensacola. Escambia Children's Trust now owes the county more than $1 million in tax increment revenues that have accrued over the past several years. This after a decision yesterday by the Board of County Commissioners. The Children's Trust had filed a request to be exempted from the tax, but commissioners voted unanimously to have them pay. The money will be paid into a trust fund, which will benefit the Community Redevelopment Agency. The county says the tax revenues will fund infrastructure projects such as sidewalks, lighting, security cameras, and they say that it will improve the safety of the neighborhoods that the children live in. Well, the Navy's newest and most advanced warship being commissioned tomorrow, the USS Richard McCool, an amphibious warship designed to transport Marines into battle. The commissioning ceremony happening at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning at NAS Pensacola. Okaloosa County pushed their vote to purchase the SS United States back a few weeks. Now Escambia County, hoping once again that they can secure the ship. During yesterday's county commission meeting, the board voted to pursue fundraising opportunities.
All those in favor, please indicate by raising your right hand. Item passes 4-0. Congratulations.
And that means that the county will be taking donations to go towards the ship's purchase. They'll be using a tiered donation system. Some of the biggest donors could potentially get perks, such as having their name engraved in the propeller before the ship is sank as an artificial reef. So now it looks like it's a race between Escambia and Okaloosa counties to see who can secure the USS United States first. And this will all be discussed at the TDC meeting this coming Monday. Just a few days now after that school shooting in Georgia that killed 4 people, injured 9 others, a Florida student now accused of making an online school shooting threat. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office says a 15-year-old student was arrested this week after posting a shooting threat on Snapchat. Sheriff Chad Cronister says that this behavior is not a joke and his deputies will pursue anybody who makes those threats. The 14-year-old shooting suspect in Georgia had been questioned regarding an online threat just 1 year before this week's fatal shooting happened. Outgoing Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh speaking yesterday for the first time since losing his re-election bid last month.
I just want to take an opportunity to thank the citizens of District 1. I've represented you for 18 years, and obviously since our last meeting there was an election, and I appreciate everyone that voted for me. I appreciate that everyone that voted against me. I just appreciated people that participated and paid attention.
And Burgosh went on to say that he'll be in office until November 18th. His goal is that the citizens won't notice any difference. He says he'll continue to be at meetings and be active throughout District 1. Well, what did Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell, and Kate Hudson have in common? Apparently, they love beer. Beer lovers, your weekend is here. The Emerald Coast Beer Festival getting underway Friday at Seville Quarter. That'll continue through the weekend as well. 46 microbreweries, distributors, and home brewing clubs will be on hand, as well as M&J Wines from Alberta to serve wine, cider, and some other various beverages. It's 8:35 right now. News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Bank of America. Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses, so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more. Bank of America. As we're looking down, dealing with that accident with roadblock that happened on Old Palafox and Kenmore Road. The road is blocked there. So your best bet to take 29 instead of Old Palafox. But it's right before 29 and Palafox merge, so just be aware of that. Seeing some traffic delays north of I-10 heading southbound, north of I-10. And then that's all heading southbound toward Old Palafox Road. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pagans.
Thank you very much, John. Our Channel 3 forecast.
It's shaping up to be a soggy end to our week, expecting periods of rain on and off all throughout the day today. High temperatures will be in those upper 70s, but still feeling a little bit warmer than that once you factor in that humidity. And going into tonight, those rain chances are sticking with us. Temperatures in those lower 70s. And as we head into the day on Saturday, still going to see that chance of rain as we head into the first half of our weekend. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell in the WEAR First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 75 degrees, cloudy skies in Pensacola, a little bit of drizzle as well. 74 reported in Gulf Breeze, 75 in rain in Milton. Your money now. The market's up at the opening bell today. The Dow's up 201 points at 40,957.15. S&P up 17 points at 55,2062. NASDAQ up 11 points at 17,139.01. 10-year bond rate up just a bit at 3.74%. Gold prices are down 260 today, 25,4050. Silver prices up 6 cents at 29,16. And Bitcoin is up 414.87 at 56,506.37. YouTube now taking down channels linked to a right-wing influencer that has been accused this week of having Russian connections. A YouTube spokesperson said Thursday that they've terminated Tenet Media and other channels run by conservative influencer Lauren Chen. Tenet, the organization identified this week by the Justice Department as allegedly being funded by Russian operatives. The monthly jobs report showing just a little change in unemployment for the month of August and a lower-than-expected rise in new jobs. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 142,000 new jobs were added last month. The unemployment ticked downward at 4.2%. NASA hoping tonight's the night to bring home the Starliner spacecraft. Right now it's docked at the International Space Station.
Starliner carried two astronauts into orbit, but because of thruster issues, will end its test flight by coming home with no one on board. NASA's Steve Stitch says they're eager to get the Boeing-built ship back on the ground.
We'll go through a couple months of post-flight analysis of the trajectory, how the thrusters perform during the final phase of flight. And then we're also already working hand-in-hand with Boeing to look at modifications to the system.
Starliner expected to touch down in New Mexico early Saturday. Those two stranded astronauts will have to come home on a SpaceX capsule in February. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. 8:38, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I said a hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. I got a couple of friends here in studio with me. I specifically went out of my way to get people in studio who would make me feel short, and they do. Walker Wilson, who clocks into the tidy, what, 6'3"?
6'1", but we'll take it.
Oh, all right. And Craig Heinzman.
I do clock in at 6'3".
You're 6'3".
So. Well,
yeah.
At least as I get older, it's becoming like 6'2" now.
Over 6 foot all looks the same to me, so whatever. Walker is, of course, the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board.
Yes.
It's the official position. And Craig is the outreach pastor for Marcus Point Baptist Church. I always get his title quite wrong.
Community engagement.
Thanks,
outreach.
Thanks, see? I never
it's
get
fine.
It right.
I don't care.
In any case.
I'm a nobody. It's fine.
Okay. Can we get it out of the way? What the mulch?
What the mulch? What the mulch? Mulch to do about nothing.
There you go. I like that. Mulch to do about nothing. That's cute. That's a good one.
That could be a title for a news article.
Okay, so downtown at the Malkay Plaza, is that where this is at?
We've got some
marginal mulch. The mulch came from a company that shreds pallets that once upon a time your dad owned 5 years ago and sold before you were ever the executive director, which didn't happen until a year after that. Do I basically have the facts right? And there's some nails in the mulch and there's some long pieces of board. Do I have this right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Walker, what's wrong with you? Why would you do such a terrible thing?
I know. We bought the mulch back in February, so it's been out there since then. And I mean, we haven't had any complaints about it until now. And so we've got our cleaning crew out there right now, this morning. They've been cleaning up anything that they deemed as too large or maybe not safe, picking up trash. So we'll have it cleaned up for tomorrow. Rough estimates, we've probably had 70,000, 100,000 people go through the Palafox Market since February.
I was going to say, every Saturday.
Every Saturday. So, yeah. Who's digging in the mulch? That's my question. Who is down there?
I feel like this is a bit of a, like, we brought the fly in a bag with us to the restaurant.
Right.
It's kind of scenario.
Drop some nails in there.
certainly we don't want nails in any of our parks like that. And so we're going to take care of it. And again, we'll get some new mulch here shortly. We do it about twice a year and we'll make sure that we don't.
But just to clarify, the implication that there's some kind of self-dealing personal benefit, whatever, is like there's not even any way to connect those dots because he sold the company 5 years ago. You have nothing to do with it.
No.
And it wasn't until a year later you became executive director. Do I have that timeline right?
And even a year after that we first bought mulch.
So Walker's not a mulch mooch.
Nice.
So yeah. But I think
mulch to do about nothing.
Is this
like that
the
title.
Only company that does mulch out of pallets? It's the first I've ever heard of it, which
it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Wood at the end of its lifespan.
A lot of these pallet manufacturers, they've got waste or drop that they have from, the lumber that they're cutting to make the pallets, and so they've got to do something with their waste. It's either throw it away or sell it for biofuel or turn it into mulch. So they grind it up and ship it off.
Very cool. I hadn't scheduled you with that in mind, but then that story came out yesterday. I was like, well, we better ask, just to be sure. The athletic complex in Cantonment proposed at Ashton-Brosnahan Park for a price tag of $48 to $62 million. Talked about this a bunch this morning. It came up as part of a package deal to go out and secure funding along with $30 million for renovations to the Bay Center. But I'm not sure this needs to be a package deal. I mean, I get the idea of like volume discount on bonding, I guess, but it seems like we could separate those. What bothered me in the presentation was it seemed like the hard questions were kind of being skirted, and when they were asked, the answers weren't great. The study itself that underlies the executive summary hadn't been provided to the TDC. They're having a special meeting on Monday to follow up on this and actually discuss whether they're going to advocate to the county that they go out and seek the funding for it. I can't get over 700 cars into the back end of Ashton-Brosnahan Park.
That's my biggest.
A 10-mile is not a big road. That road is not big. Even if they build a second.
Longleaf? It's
10-mile.
It's 10-mile.
You're thinking of Longleaf and the other facilities by the schools. We have the place, but, we have places on OLF-8, and we have places at the Superfund site, and we have, lots of places. And if this were a priority, I hate to say it, but we could have built it before we dished off the old soccer fields on W and 29. Like,
right, yeah.
Why there with we know going to be a money-losing endeavor to cost the taxpayers 48 to 62? The more I talk, the more negative I get. And I don't want to be that guy, but I have a hard time swallowing this one. Craig?
I think the infrastructure question is the biggest piece of it. You cannot build a facility of that expanse in that area and not completely renovate everything in that. I go down 10 mile every single day, and it's already a little congested, especially if there's an event at Ashton-Brosnahan. I cannot imagine you add that and don't add the infrastructure. Now, if you want to add the infrastructure.
It's a two-lane road with no turn lane.
No turn lanes, and there's accidents all the time. If you add the infrastructure, sure, I can see it. But if that's not in the plans, if we're not saying, hey, we're going to put this into four lanes, we're going to at least put a turn lane down
at
the middle of
it. At least three, yeah.
There's no point in putting it there because it's just going to be a nightmare for anyone that uses the space as a large space.
And for the school traffic, the buses, just kind of all of it.
Let's not talk about the times that school is letting in and out. Right. Just ignore those because there's only one access to those schools. And you're going to clog that up at twice a day.
And I felt like in the conversation that was offered as a, okay, we're working on some traffic solutions. We're going to build this extra road out the back to the other road on the east side of the complex. I'm like, that's not – I'm not satisfied. Walker, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if they don't deal with the traffic issues, then it's really a non-starter to do a big project out there like this. Right. And I'm not out there hardly ever in Cantonment or, you know, 9 or 10-mile road area. But, you know, I think there is probably a need for some sort of sports tourism attraction, a facility. And is that the correct place for it? I don't know that it is. But, again, if you're not going to deal with the infrastructure and the traffic issues, then why build it? And they come, and we don't have a way for them
to get
there.
I'm 100% for the project happening out there because we do need a facility as a government project?
To lose money every year.
Well, no, not as a – I don't.
It's, their best case is
my question
even.
On whether or not government should run a lot of things.
Well,
is,
I mean, you know,
no.
You got, if you put $60 million in, your bonding is $4 million a year just in debt service.
A public-private partnership would be best, obviously.
So, like, what's happening at the port?
Yes.
Where you got a private company Absolutely. Spending money to create basically this with a little different emphasis on
Absolutely.
Pickleball,
right.
And then now it's a private company instead of the government doing it, right?
Right. Absolutely. And the more you can do something like that out there. We do need recreational space. We do need indoor recreational space in Skagit County. There's 100% need for that. I know there was a plan at one point in time to put something on Pine Forest. I think Transformation Church was working with that. With
Maritime
some folks.
Park.
That fell through. Maritime Park obviously has fallen through in many options. There are places we can do it, but the north side of our community is growing. It's growing quickly. And we do need to put some infrastructure and stuff out there, recreational things out there for those folks. It right there, I know we have the SEC soccer tournament there. We've got a couple of major functions. It's a good space. It just has zero access into it. If we want to do it, great. Make sure we have good access in and out. Otherwise, find somewhere else.
Yeah, same thoughts, same concerns. Like, I'm partially concerned about the project itself, especially concerned about the location. There's no restaurants there. There's no hotels there. There's no amenities there. There's nothing but, you know, neighborhoods, a couple of schools, and an inadequate road.
Yeah. Right, right.
And that seems to me like not the best plan in the world. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're seeing some delays if you're traveling southbound on North Palafox, starting around Trent Street going south right there in front of, it's Grab and Go Convenience Store, headed all the way down to Oakfield. You're going to see about a 10-15 minute delay. And then if you're coming northbound, just south of Oakfield in Palafox, you're going to experience about a 10-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. Can I just, like, briefly emphasize, why not OLF-8? I mean, here you have something that's going to be a community benefit because it's going to be a community right. center with athletic right. facilities. You have restaurants and hotels and access to roads and all the things you would want in a location. It seems like that's – and it's north. Okay, we're not – recongesting downtown with another thing.
Right.
It just seems like...
And it's right off the interstate, too,
right.
which is another huge benefit of that.
And interchange coming, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm not sure why that hasn't been the proposal. I know Stephen Barry kind of looks at this as a personal project, a vanity project, get me reelected project. I don't know how you want to consider it, but, you know, that's not enough. It seems like that basic question of the location is
the biggest challenge for me. We need something. Do we have to have it right there is the problem.
Big story in the news, national story, of course. We had this shooting in Georgia, and a 14-year-old kid has this AR-15 that his dad provided for him. Even after
the FBI
apparently
came to his
they
house.
Knew that the kid was a danger because he'd made school threats. And now the dad is facing charges. Thoughts?
Good.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he should. And the kid I know is getting charged as an adult as he should too. You're making adult choices and
is there an age you
lives.
Wouldn't feel comfortable charging as an adult?
For something like this, it's hard to think. You never know what I don't know what the youngest school shooter is that we've had in this country, but it certainly
I gotta figure there's a 12 or 13-year-old out there in at least one or two
possibly,
cases.
Possibly, but I mean you're talking about kids making like you said, adult decisions. You can't say, well, you know, you're just a kid. In 8 years, you can pop right out and be back in contributing member society. Just not
I mean,
how it
push
works.
It all the way. We're talking about the death penalty, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to execute a 14-year-old?
Oh, I mean, when do we execute anybody? By the time that even happens.
Okay, fair enough.
He'll be, 35 or something.
That's true.
But
there, I mean, and listen, I'm in favor of the death penalty. I understand the reasons you charge as an adult. I start to get really uncomfortable at a certain age. You know, how culpable can you hold somebody for that? But for the dad, I mean, the reason we don't let kids have guns is because kids can't handle guns safely unless they have adult supervision.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that we should not be allowing kids or teens to do. And we don't allow them to drink. We don't allow them to smoke. There's a lot of things that we limit, and there's more we should be limiting kids on doing. But we also should be holding parents responsible. Do I think that you start banning all, you know, go back to all the same arguments we're going to hear about banning guns and this, that, and the other? This is a simple problem. This dad knew this son was having problems, and he still supplied his son with a weapon. I don't care what weapon. He still supplied his son with a weapon knowing his son was having problems.
Right.
I think at that point in time, you can't argue that he needs to go to jail.
Yep.
And so there's a part of me that's always a bit reluctant as a dad of boys, as, you know, you understand that no matter how good you are as a parent, you know, kids can still do horrible, terrible things. But that's kind of the price of being a parent. You know, if my kids do damage at a store, guess who pays?
Yep, right.
You know, and this is just a more vivid version of that same problem. And it's a very particular. It's not like, oh, I couldn't possibly have known. It's, here's the gun.
Yeah, right. Well, and there's difference. Like, I believe it was, I can't remember which one of the shooters it was.
If a kid goes in the closet and gets the shotgun that, you know,
unbeknownst to the dad and,
or you know,
mom.
Breaks into the lock and the safe, you know,
that's
like
what I was saying.
Right. As opposed to this, right? There are degrees of where you would change your opinion, but sorry, go ahead.
It was Parkland, I believe, that he shot and killed his mom first.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So at that point in time, obviously maybe a parent did try to stop and was unable to, but when you're basically aiding and abetting at this moment in time, it's kind of where I look at it for him. And again, I am absolutely not for gun control in the ways that they're talking about it now, where we're banning guns and banning weapons and all sorts of stuff. I believe we have to have smart regulations, obviously, but I think this is one of the ways we can start limiting these kind of incidents, is saying, okay, parents, you're going to be responsible if your kids do something.
And
like this.
And I think we're in a position where kind of the sins of omission is part of our problem with a lot of these things, where, you know, could parents have done more if they had intervened? And I want to make it so parents think about that and pay attention and ask the question, oh, I could be on the hook for something, let alone actually providing. I want parents to pay attention and look at phones and check rooms and, you know, don't play the ignorant, right, Walker?
Yeah, I think so. And it's, you know, if you're just hands off, then, you know, stuff like this can happen, or your kids can get into trouble without you knowing, especially the phone thing. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, phones nowadays. It's like we had phones when I was in middle school or high school, but it wasn't what we have
flip
today,
phones.
Right? Like, you were really cool if you got a razor phone.
I forgot for a second how young you are. I thought you were talking about phones attached to the 20-foot extension cord that you had to carry.
That's what we had, yeah.
The one phone that hung on the wall that you carried into your bedroom and hoped nobody was going to get on the other line and hear everything you said. But anyway.
But it's like the entire internet's in your kid's pocket at all times. And that's a scary place to be as a parent.
It is. And the thing about it is you have to understand there's no privacy for kids. I tell that to parents all the time. Your kids do not have a right to privacy in your home. So check their stuff, check their phone. Yep. And if you don't, this is what ends up happening, because influencers are coming in to your kids' minds that you are not aware of. And if you're not having those conversations and looking through their stuff, because kids lie, just the way they are.
What?
Yeah. I believe 50% of what my kids tell me, because that's about how much of it's true. I ain't gonna lie.
You know, and we can blame the phone and the technology of whatever sort, whether it's the availability of guns or the, you know, internet, social media, and all that. We had problems when I was a kid too.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was a little bit harder in certain ways to get access to things. But look, like our kids were not allowed to have social media. They're 18 and 20 now, and they still kind of don't. They, you know, they use Discord. Okay. But that's sort of marginal social media, but they, for school and stuff, they don't really care. They don't really want it. And I feel like of all the, you know, some good and some bad decisions I've made as a parent, never posting pictures of my kid on social media. I feel really proud of that decision. And I know I'm rare, but I have protected their digital ID. And then the other one is not letting them have social media. I feel like I would go back and do that every single time.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, and it's weird because I do feel like, you know, my age group, we grew up, we had the MySpace. We had Facebook before parents really got on there and made it not cool. And so then we all went to Instagram. And then, you know.
Now it's TikTok, yeah, because all parents now on Instagram.
Yeah, and so it's just funny to see how it's evolved. And
your grandma follows you.
Right. Yeah, she most certainly did.
I had that conversation with my grandmother, 97.
Did you?
So, yeah, oh yeah, but how she keeps up with us on Facebook and my wife's account, and she's like, I see you on Facebook all the time. I'm like, yeah, probably. Yeah, this is now an old platform.
I need to think about my audience a little bit more.
Yeah, I just got back on social media after being off for 4 years.
How many people texted you? How many people texted you to make sure it was you? Because I know I did.
Yes, multiple people were like, is this you or is this a bot? And I'm like, eh. And my wife's like, you probably shouldn't have used an AI, you know, edited photo to put it up there.
So yeah, your dating photo from 10 years ago.
Yeah. I never try to do that. But it's one of those things that I had to do it for work. But if I could have it, I would not be on social media at all. Because it's, for me, it's just an influence I don't want to have to deal with in my head all the time.
You know what it is? I'll come back to this in a second because you make me think of something. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now or delays. Traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You make me think of something, Craig, that it doesn't directly have anything to do with what we're talking about, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Any behavior that you engage in and you enjoy, you tend to cultivate a desire for that behavior, right? You watch TV, you enjoy watching TV, and then when you're not watching TV, there's kind of a part of you that's like, man, I kind of need some TV time. Right. Okay, you play sports, you get desire, you enjoy playing sports, and you kind of want to play sports when you're not doing it. Driving a motorcycle, and here's something, playing video games, okay, is an activity you enjoy, and when you're not doing it, you kind of start to feel like a hunger craving, like I want to play the video games. Same thing for social media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of like video games on my phone too. Like, you know, any of that kind of stuff, you cultivate the habit, you enjoy the habit, you cultivate the desire, and when it's not there, you seek it out, you kind of miss it. How much of your life or how much of teenagers' lives gets frittered away just because we've cultivated the desire to two finger on the phone or one finger on the, you know, like it's so habitual. It's such an extension of your life that you can't imagine it without, but then, man, how much more time would you have if you weren't doing that stuff?
Yeah, it's funny. I even see it in some of my younger cousins who, you know, are in their early 20s and just the references they make of, oh, we should try and do this. And it's like, where did you get that idea from? Well, TikTok, you know, and it's just like this constant.
The pinnacle of human erudition, TikTok, yes.
Yeah, and so it's just weird to see how that's infused into their life so much. And that, you know, that generation, they certainly, their whole life has been nothing but on social media and they've had it their whole lives. And so that's where they get most of their, I guess, like outside influences from friend groups and then social media, what they're seeing on the internet. Yeah.
I think part of that is just teaching kids that you don't always have to buy into your urges. And that goes back into this young.
Are you sure?
Kids. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You mean you can delay gratification?
Not every idea that comes into your head is a good one. And not everything you believe is true.
And not everything should be posted?
Not everything should be posted.
It's okay to self-censor?
Oh, yeah.
You're saying weird stuff today.
I do.
I'm youth pastor or something?
Right. I've only had 20 years dealing with teenagers. You know, from the snake on the phone to actual, you know, apps on the phone.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that if we don't teach our kids how to do it, they're not going to learn how to do it. Because social media is not teaching them, and our phones aren't teaching them. There's an endorphin hit that happens when that notification comes on. You get, oh,
the
somebody.
The business somebody interest wants that is behind that phone is exactly the opposite of wanting you to exercise and learn good judgment,
absolutely
restraint,
right,
and delay of gratification.
The more time you spend on it, the better off. It's a drug.
Their money model is more and more often and more intense. Right, absolutely. The exact opposite of personal.
Think about when we were playing video games when we were younger, right? And I know we got
Zelda.
Zelda, Mario, there was an end stage, done. Now, as soon as you die, you come right back to where you started, right back where you were, and you keep going, and there's no end. Same thing with Facebook. You can scroll and scroll and scroll forever, and it never stops.
Yeah. The McCool commissioning tomorrow is rain or shine. Admiral Quinn says rain or shine. They might pause if there's lightning, but it's rain or shine. So it will happen tomorrow.
Go if you can. Are you going? Amazing. I can't, but I want to be there, but I can't.
I'll be there in the rain. Walker, are you going?
I might be there.
All right. Should be a good time. At the base, it's a huge ship.
Massive.
Thanks so much for listening. Craig Hinesman and Walker Wilson.
Go get some wood chips.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.